Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
And they begin cracking and moving and screaming.
Well, something maybe a little worse than undead kicking around in here, guys.
Happy news.
You step out into this forest, hit a hot wave of humid air.
Not too far. A clearing. I think we can follow the path there.
Okay. That's our best bet.
You look in and you see inside there are seven figures inside seven cells. The cells themselves are constructed with what looks like melded together skeletal figures.
What are you doing here?
Well, this is going to sound lame. Saving you guys? I don't know.
We were coming to rescue you and bring magic back to the world.
Oh, delightful. Excellent. Do me first.
And you are...
Didn't you recognize me in my fine janitor outfit? Just a janitor over here.
That's what I thought. Fucking janitor.
I'm gonna go knock on Bahamut's cell.
The old man, he naps through everything.
Yamble goes behind Sirik and then just like plants herself and pushes as hard as she can.
Clerics!
With you all huddled close, we see him blink as you all teleport out of the prison. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
I am here, and I play Thea Amastasia, a female high elf druid, and we both go by she, her.
And Carla Maxted.
She, her. I'm playing Yenbul Nuri, a Kalishtar cleric, also she, her.
And Tom Laird's here.
He, him, and I am playing Tulgir Heavyfoot, a mountain dwarf paladin who, I don't know where to go with that sentence, who is a cool guy?
Cool guy.
He's a real cool guy. I somehow have blanked out that his last name was Heavyfoot.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Seemed like brand new information to me, which it definitely wasn't, but.
Which Tulgir is a patron named character. So thank you, Christian Brown, for naming Tulgir Heavyfoot for us. You know who's not here? Kristen. Sorry, Kristen.
Wait, I thought she was a new permanent cast member.
Yeah. I know. What the heck?
I'm sorry.
We tricked her time and again, and somehow she became wise to our tricks.
And then was like, nah, even though my character's still around, I got to go my separate ways. So
it's fair.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
I mean, a goth is around, obviously, because we're...
Yeah, a goth and Rax are out having adventures, doing cool stuff. Mm-hmm.
They got their own things to do.
You know what? They might even be standing right next to you for the rest of forever until Kristen decides she wants to come back. Who knows?
Oh, okay. Fun.
Who knows? Just following around. We'll see how the game plays. But you can, this is going back to the other thing that I mentioned previously. You can name characters over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. But also, get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Eric Houlihan.
Hey,
thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks, with Eric. A super fun last name. I know,
it's so fun. Hey, it's fun.
Houlihan.
Obligatory MASH joke right here.
Yeah. MASH.
you did it.
Yay.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now fuck it, let's play. An icy, stale wind blows across the city of Bryn Shander. As our group appears in an illuminated shutter. The city is destroyed, flattened to the ground. Thea, Yembl, Tulgir, Agoth, and Rax huddle around the recovering human form of Bahamut. He looks frail and disheveled and begins to collapse after having teleported the group back to Corsair. A sickening and all too familiar sound begins to cut through the wind. It's the sound of a horde. You look around and all streets leading to this town center, or what was town center, begin overflowing with flesh-rotted zombies.
Well, this is not good.
We thought this was the last stronghold. What does this mean?
Got any magic in you, Bahamut? How you doing here, buddy?
He just groans and lifts his head, but...
Does he give me the hang loose, but he's really just like his heart isn't in it?
Yeah, that's the feel you get from the eyes rolling back in his head. Yeah.
All right, well, if he can't really help us, I think I got something that might turn. I've had this thing for a while and I've yet to use it. I know the situation isn't great, but so this is actually like kind of exciting.
Well, I'm excited for you. What you got?
Telgear roots around in his bag, and you see him pull out a conch shell. It's 2.5 feet long. Looks like it weighs a few pounds, and it's got a rune engraved in the side of it. He says,
"All
right, everybody.
Pretty.
Everybody, all
we
right,
get
well,
inside
again,
here?
I don't really know how this is going to feel when I do
oh,
this.
Oh, where are you putting this? Oh,
should we hold hands or?
Yeah, I don't really know. Okay, yeah, like everybody. Yeah, maybe we all link hands and you can grab Bahamut's hands there. And I'm going to blow in this thing and it's going to take us back.
How do you know that?
The horde's 15 feet away.
I don't care, blow.
Okay.
And he takes like a big... lung full of breath and blows into the conch.
What does it sound like, Tom?
Yes. The sound of the conch of teleportation echoes out. As regal as it sounds.
Super regal.
As the dirt and frost around the heroes begins to rise, their eyes are drawn to a high point. A hill at the edge of the city on the horizon. And the dimly lit silhouettes of a tall dragonborn and a hooded gnome appear before them. In an instant, the spiraling energy, as if drawn from the center of the group, pulls quickly in, and the group is gone. It's quiet. Until we hear a build-up and pop. Followed by the settling of dust to the stone floor in the sewer hideout beneath Castle Orcus. There's a gasp as everyone in the area turns with panic and then relief as they see your group before them. There's a beat, and you hear from within the group,
"Holy fuck!"
Flamikins runs forward towards the group and, before Thea can say anything, leaps high in the air and wraps herself around your neck.
They said you were back, but then you left before I came back, and then I thought you might not come back, but you're back, and Flint's still out.
And she's shaking you.
Get your boobs out of my face!
But you're back!
God!
You're back!
Yes.
She breaks into tears and you feel her sobbing as she hugs you.
Oh, I hug her back tight. Yeah, we're back.
Stepping out from the crowd is Leosin and a group of resistance who move towards you and begin checking your wounds and tending to the old man who you are all surrounding and appear to be protecting. You came back. Who's this? What? Tell. Come in, quick.
Oh, yeah. Careful with the merchandise over here.
Who is this?
We found one.
You don't recognize him?
We have returned with a god.
Come on, he's a really cool guy.
Wait. Is this, you found Bahamut?
Yeah, we wanted the best one. I assume.
He's speechless. He snaps quickly to the resistance who have come and with all arms ushering them to move him back to a bed somewhere where he can rest. Do you know what this means?
We have a fighting chance in this thing?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because that's why we did. Is this not why we're doing this? I feel very overwhelmed right now.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold you a little bit longer.
Yeah, I feel like her legs are wrapped around my waist and I'm just like cradling her like, you know, like you do a toddler.
Come in. Have a rest.
I assume we were gone for the appropriate amount of time. There hasn't been any sort of extreme time jumps while we were gone.
It's been a couple weeks.
Honestly, quicker than I thought we would be.
We unfortunately have bad news, too.
Okay.
We went to Luskin.
Yes.
And
you found the Brotherhood?
No.
Not exactly. The tower still stands, but no one is there manning it.
There were clues, and we followed them to Icewind Dale. There was a god there. A small god.
Oriel. Yes.
Nailed it.
They're remaining.
They were remaining. Oh. Then we returned with Bahamut. The city had been taken by the dead.
We would have too if...
Fogio had a giant shell.
That's right, yes. Sorry, I can't breathe. Can you loosen up a little bit, Flamekins? Just...
Yeah, sorry. The neck okay. So much. Sorry, yeah, just gonna stretch it out here. Totally cool, playing it cool. It's good to see you, all right. Fist bump, yeah. Who are your friends? That's okay, we don't have to explain it right now. I'm sure it's been explained before. I'll go ask somebody else. I'll see you in a minute.
Wound up pretty tight, that one.
Yes, she is. And also, I apologize in advance. You'll know why.
Oh. Veliosin, what do we do now? We have returned Bahamut. We have seen other gods in a prison.
If there's a way we can get back there, we could get them out. It just requires a little tradesies.
He doesn't appear to be at peak performance, I will say.
Yeah, there was a few there, and really the only one that seemed to be high-functioning was Sirik.
Yeah, that sounds like a recipe for not ending up where we wanted to end up if you were to have brought him back.
Yeah, we tricked the trickster. He's probably really mad.
He's probably pretty upset with us when we do free him.
Great.
If...
Yeah. Well, that's.
Well, I mean, do we need all the gods?
I think he'll be stoked to be free, though.
Yeah.
True.
That's for another time. We'll worry about that when we have to cross that bridge. It sounds like they don't let them out quite at any. They don't let them out from the sounds of it.
No.
Correct? Yes.
I mean, that was what we were led to believe.
Well, they take them out, but only to exterminate or destroy them.
Yeah, Sirik said once they go out, they don't come back.
This last couple weeks has been the most relief we have seen in more than 10 years. But I fear that we are creating ripples in Orcus's
nipples.
The old ripple nipple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is bad.
I'm glad I have this halting speech pattern where you can fill in exactly what you want.
Everything
to
I
say.
Want.
Yes. Ripples in his security. Don't say nipples again.
She almost did. She was this close.
Waves in his butt. Waves in his butt.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I beat you to it.
We got good bloops already for this episode.
It wasn't good, though.
Did you see anyone, obviously not if they didn't come back with you, but anyone remaining in Icewind Dale where you were?
Just a rather large crowd coming in from where the barriers were down.
We saw someone up on the hill. I don't know who.
Yes, we saw Dragonborn and a gnome on the hill.
Yeah, there were two people there.
We had met them in the pyramid.
Yeah.
Could it be Orcus's right hand, Varnox?
I believe so, with his left hand, Lipsinky.
Well, the relief is that we have a god who hopefully is mending and replenishing themselves enough to help us with whatever we need to do next. With Bahamut and Grancis.
Sorry,
Flamikins came back from the abyss and brought Grancis.
She did
her.
What now?
Well, I fear for you that we need him.
Oh, son of a bitch.
He is also recovering in a comatose state, induced.
Okay, now how long can we keep that? Like, maybe just till the last minute? I'm kidding.
We need
I'm
him
kidding.
To
I
be
know.
Up to his power. Okay. He's one of the last trained wizards left in the world, Thea.
I know. Guys, he's just so irritating.
He's a friend of yours?
Yeah, sort of, I guess. Yeah. I mean, the man makes a mean pancake. I'll give him that.
I mean, the more the merrier, right?
Yes.
I've never actually seen him do anything useful, but I keep being told he is very powerful. So, Leos, well, and that's on you if that doesn't pan out.
Fine. Totally on me.
Okay, cool.
I'll fill out the paperwork that says, nope, he wasn't that powerful.
I don't think you do paperwork anymore, do you?
My question is to you. He's been down there for this long. Why would Orcus keep him? He's turned everybody else.
Probably to turn him onto us and cause some disgruntled Thea, where I'm just gonna wreck everything in here now. I see you. I can see your hair going grayer as I'm talking. I'm messing with you, Leosin. The more, not the merrier. I will be terse, but the more power we have on our side, the better.
As I was saying, with Bahamut and Grancis back, we will have been creating points to notice in Orcus and his followers. If it was in fact Varnox and Lipsinky that you saw, they will be on the lookout for anything out of the ordinary, as they must know you have returned.
Well, they did see us disappear in a giant flash of magic, so.
Yes.
That we couldn't help.
And appear in one.
Well, then it might not be long before they are able to find us. There are two things that we can do. We have another party out trying to recover a relic of supposed teleportation. It was used in the fight against Tiamat to bridge the planes between the material and the nine hells to bring the devils here.
And we want that because...
because we can't get anywhere outside of our present time. If we have a god who can harness that power, there's no stopping us from being able to move through not only space, but maybe time.
Oh.
Well. That would be good.
That seems very important. I would say time travel relic, top of the list, right?
Yes.
What's number two?
If our location is found out, we believe there may be a refuge on the continent of Mazteca. Flamikins has a vessel available to take us there. It's across the sea. We hadn't traveled because we had no way. No way to get out. No way to get there. And no real... I mean, we still don't have real proof that there is life there as well. But with you saying that the last refuge that we didn't know about on this land is gone, there's nothing for us here.
Okay. So, plan. We need to go and get this relic and also escape with Pirate Flamikins to Marscaponia.
Mazteca. Marscaponia.
Marscaponia.
The land of cheese.
To Mazteca.
Toriel can't be dead. If it was dead, Orcus would stop having his forces hunting refugees and patrolling every way. He would have got his way. Everyone would be pain-free and able to just go about their business. But he's still hunting. He still has Varnox and Lipsinki going out and destroying. That means they know that there are places, and that's why I hope Mazteca is one of those places. We will rest here as long as we can. Hopefully give Bahamut and Flint and Grants' time to recover.
How's Flint doing?
No positive change. He hasn't woken, barely stirred. He is still breathing. The transformation has maintained where it was when you left, which was almost entirely. Would you like to see him? Take some time.
Let me think on it.
Okay.
So what's the word on this relic? Where do we need to go? Who do we have to kill? What's the plan?
Well, we actually have a group out who's due back hopefully soon. I've asked you to do enough. If they return with it, then we can use it. And if not, well, then we will send you following them. But let's hope that they make it back. It's not past when they should be due back yet.
And in the meantime, we should be preparing, packing, becoming as mobile as we can so we can escape.
Exactly. Knowing that Varnox and Lipsinki will likely be returning to here, Castle Orcus, Waterdeep, whatever we want to call it now, we should probably make our go bags, so to speak, and be ready to move. Agatha, come with me. We can feed Rax some, and some people I'd like you to meet in the back. Maybe you can help arrange things back here.
Agatha, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
For fighting with us.
We could not have done any of this without you. Without either of you.
We are not done yet. I will expect to see you back. Do not disappoint me.
I want to go see Flint.
Okay.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to meditate beside him.
Okay. You walk back further into the refuge and back to the makeshift triage center. where Flint is laid out. And as you enter, you see Grancis in the cot beside him.
Ugh, Flint would be so pissed right now.
Yeah, he'd probably be okay given the circumstances, you know, just with comas and stuff.
You say comos?
Well, Perry was a good friend of mine. You know, comos. You know, like, it's just a saying. When you're sleeping, you're down, and you're gonna go all around. I'm gonna let myself out, okay? Well, it's nice seeing you there, I guess. I don't know, I feel real weird.
That's okay.
Would it have been more entertaining if Thea had, like, grabbed a pillow and was moving it toward Grancis and then Flaming Kids, like, interrupted
her? No, Thea wouldn't. Oh. Thea just finished saying we need his help, Lon.
Yeah, but maybe we don't.
Oh, I thought that was Flint. I was going to put him out of his misery.
I'll just give you a moment there with Flint.
Thanks, Flamekins. It's nice to see you.
It's fucking great to see you. Okay, I'm going to go now.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. You're both, you know, in a coma. Plus, I'm really just talking to you, Flint and Grancis. This, you're very much like putting your nose where it doesn't belong just by being here. But it'd be really, well, be awful nice if you guys could wake up. And you know, there's quite the shitstorm happening. So if maybe you had anything in there that help you to get on up, or at least just, you know, don't turn into a dragonborn completely and lose yourself to another soul inside you, that'd be great, because I'm still working on it.
What if he lost himself to the music?
Flamekins. It's like a personal moment.
So, sorry, I was just around the corner. I'm not listening. It's a small place.
It's not. It's enormous. You guys will figure that out when you wake up. Either here or you may be on a boat. Just going to hang out for a bit. I'm going to meditate in the corner until I regain my hit points.
Thea, you sit down and begin meditating. And we fade out on that scene and into a dark space. It's the middle time.
Oh, I feel like you were a gong. Like,
yeah,
someone,
I did feel kind of gongish. I felt a little flat from where I wanted to be, so I just kind of just held it a little longer.
Until you got
there? Then it seems intentional.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, it was very mellow and yeah, like we're meditating.
Yeah,
let's just bring everyone nice. Just way down.
Yeah, way
in
down.
The middle so of this podcast, can, yeah. Just yeah. The energy, just drop
calm.
It.
Right.
Let's now, just very calmly talk pose. About 100 episodes.
Exhale.
Oh, back, we snuck baby. That up on ya.
Sneak attack. Hey,
right.
we're almost at 100 episodes for season 2. They said it couldn't be done, and we did it.
So we showed.
That's
them.
Right.
We
showed. Take that,
we looked
them.
At season 1. We were like 84 episodes. Let's at.
Can do that in our. Sleep.
Let's add a second
right.
timeline and double that.
Mm-hmm. When you put it like that, it seems crazy. Yeah,
it's really, I mean, decisions were made. But wouldn't that be really cool if while we hit our 100th episode, we also had 100 patrons?
That would be very cool.
It'd be so
be amazing.
Good, because then our patrons could hear the Grancis Flamekins episode that is ready.
Oh, it's just
so
waiting. Ready. It's ready
it's
and waiting.
Loaded.
It's just waiting. It's in the Disney vault waiting to be released.
That's right.
Exactly.
Does Disney still have a vault?
Are we allowed to say
I
Disney?
Don't think
I mean,
so.
Now with Disney Plus, I would assume not.
I mean, I think everything's out of the vault. They took it out of the vault. Maybe they should put Little Mermaid 2 back in the vault.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Some Ariel.
Hot.
Ariel's not even in it, is she?
Hot
barely.
I don't know. I didn't know
is
there
it
was
about
a
her daughter?
Yeah, she has a top being all
we've
like.
We've really gotten sidetracked,
yeah. Okay.
Hey, 100 patrons. we would love to have 100 patrons by the time we reach 100 episodes, mostly because it would be really cool.
I mean, just the optics of 100, yeah. 100. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice. Yeah.
Well, and we have that cool bonus episode burning a hole in
our
box.
It's so hot. It's like sizzling.
Well, I mean, and it's just not that hot.
I got it all edited, ready to go. I just got to hit schedule. And then as soon as we hit that 100 patrons, it goes live, baby. And you can get Krancis and Flamekins. Me? And I couldn't even jump it.
Dang.
I've been on summer break.
It's been a long time.
Me. And me. Yeah, there we go. I had to go Krancis to Flamekins.
Like, if every one of you were to tell a friend... maybe then
to go listen to all 100 episodes and then at this point join us.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just gonna say maybe just
go back and listen to all 96 episodes up to this point and then finish it off.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd
be just
great.
Saying if everyone tells one person, like, we need a handful of patron left, like, if every we'll make it to 100.
I mean, if everybody who listened to the show signed up for our lowest tier, I mean, we'd be
having so many patrons. Having so many talks. So many gook hangs.
We need so many more bonus episodes.
So many more bonus episodes. True. And that's the thing. When you are a patron, you get access to so many bonus episodes. Tom runs a game over there that I can't wait to play. I think we get to play it later this month.
Do we?
It's tomorrow, Tom. Get on it. Jeez.
Oh, boy. Yep.
But I'm really looking forward to that, where I play a Tabaxi Bard and Amy plays a surly Goliath Barbarian. And Elia plays just the most delightful Azamar monk.
Well, Carla plays.
What did I say?
Yeah. Elia plays an Azamar monk.
Elia
is an Azamar monk.
I mean, Carla just embodies every character she steps into.
I also do a lot of flips and punches and kicks and real fast moves in my daily life.
She's doing them right now. Like, amazing mic presence as it's happening.
Just flipping.
The body control. And you could be a part of that.
Amazing.
Patreon family.
.com/dumbdragoncast. We'd love to see you over there. Get you back to the episode now. Thanks so much for being here with us. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Love you, bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.
The smell of fresh baked goods permeates the senses as we open on a quiet and modest underground dwelling. We hear movement through and beyond the door, and as we enter, we see Flint standing in the kitchen, rolling out dough, a filling boiling on the hearth with his sister Helja tending it.
I can't believe you volunteered us both to make all of these pies for the block party.
It didn't seem like everybody was going to come.
But I mean, once they found out that we were making our special peach pies, everybody signed up.
I know. I'm sorry. I know you had a few other things to do, but I appreciate you helping and actually sticking around and helping me. Because doing it myself would have been nightmarish.
Oh, you wouldn't have got it done. There's no way.
Okay, so what do I have to add now? Like, you have to stir it for 45 minutes and then... and then add, there was a special ingredient?
Yeah, so let that one boil for a little bit. It's already done. As far as this one over here, though, that's where we need to add the special ingredient. Mom's little secret, cinnamon. I know what you're thinking. Well, that's a pretty common ingredient.
Especially in a peach pie.
It really, really takes it above and beyond.
Door swings open on the other side of the room. Your mom steps out in her nightgown. Are you giving everybody my special secret again?
What do you mean everybody? It's only me and Helja here.
Everybody's listening, Flint. Everybody's listening.
I mean, I don't think... okay, sure. Yeah, you know what? Everyone's listening. We'll keep it under wraps.
Her eyes dart to a window beside you. You see the neighbor boy, Timber, who's peeking up kind of like Kilroy style over the edge, and he locks eyes with your mom. And he bolts down and you hear footsteps running off.
Okay, well, he was watching. But I don't think that really means everyone was watching.
A timber's got loose lips, and loose lips sink ships, which really isn't a great saying when you're underground.
I mean, I think it still works. Tell you what, I'll stop by his house later on, and I'll have a little chat with him, and we'll make sure that it stays hush-hush.
All right. You make sure that kid knows to keep the cinnamon to himself.
I mean, I'll bring him a pie, too, so that'll probably help.
Door slams shut behind her. She goes back into her room. Okay, so we have to speak quieter now.
Yeah. Turns out everyone is watching and listening.
Scene fades, and it's later in the day, and where would Flint go for his axe training?
There is, next to the smithing shop, there's like a little kind of a warehouse type thing that, you know, normally when times are really good, it is filled with goods and materials and things that are, you know, taking up a lot of the space. But lately it's been a little bit slow in the dwarven community here. So he's kind of carved out a little area complete with like training dummies and blocks of wood and various other things so that he can get some axe training in.
This area is clear and it's perfect for you. And if the wear in this space, as you've been going at this training for a little while, when you hear just a clear of the throat but behind you, you're a little loose on the right there.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I just want to remind you that I'm trying out this like new two axe technique, and I don't know, I prefer the big old battle axe, but like, this is pretty fun too.
Yeah, no, it looks really good, especially as it probably could have snuck in there and stabbed you right in the side. Hey, yeah, wouldn't do that though.
All right, Glory Gem, let's just take it easy here. why did you want me to do this two axe technique anyway? Like, I'm down for trying something new, but like, is there an actual reason or just for funsies?
I wanted to see if you could do it, because if you could do it, then I could do it.
Okay, all right, I got you there, yeah. What about the axe throwing? Have you been practicing?
Have I been practicing? He takes a hand axe from his belt and whips it at this wooden pole wooden support pole. I'll roll for it. It hits it, but it doesn't stick in and kind of bounces off to the ground. So, I've been working on it.
All right, well, the thing you have to remember when you're doing the throwing is depending on how close or far away you are is how many rotations and, of course, how hard you throw it as well. So with the effort you put in there and you stopped a little bit short. So, I mean, just take like half a step forward and do it again. You should be able to hit it. No problem. Hit and stick. That's what we call it.
He takes half a step forward, skeptically looking at you, looses the hand axe, and it sticks in perfect. So if one caravan leaves Mithril Hall and going at 2 horsepower, and one caravan leaves Waterdeep, leaving it 3 horsepower. Where do they collide?
I mean, this is not the time or the place for your brain teasers. This is axe practice, and we will leave it as axe practice.
That's just what you... Okay, yep, you got it. You got it, Smarty Pants.
As I kind of turn away, I'm like...
He moves in to kind of show you where you're... where your loose side is that he was saying, and we fade to a very familiar place to Flint, and it's the smith shop of your father, Fargrim. Describe to me what stands out to you for Flint in this.
The thing that stands out the most in Fargrim's shop to Flint, there is a beautiful set of like mithril chainmail that his dad made years ago, and even when the shop would fall on hard times or whatever it is, he would never sell it. It was the thing that he was the most proud of that he made, as far as with his two hands, and yeah, it's his pride and joy, and it's front and center behind the counter in the shop.
You hear the sound of like heavy hammering and the forges are blazing. It's a good day, like a really good day. And you're staring up at this mithril chainmail. A sense of calm or peace washing over you.
Hammers and axes aren't gonna make themselves there, Flint.
Yeah, I know, Dad, but I mean, you took this big order for bracers, and you know it's finicky work, so it's gonna take me a little bit of time to get through it.
Look, it's not my fault you decided to make all the pies for the village on the same day we got this order.
Well, no, it's not your fault. That's Helge's fault, and we're both on the same page as far as that's concerned.
All right, yeah, well, as long as you save me a slice here, yeah, come on over and give me a hand here.
Yeah, no problem. I did have to give a pie to the neighbor kid, Timber, just so he wouldn't blab to everyone about Mom's secret ingredient.
What, the cinnamon?
Yeah, I mean, I know, but she was very offended.
Someone needs to tell her that cinnamon's in every peach pie.
I mean, I've tried to tell her before, but
yeah,
but she says it's a special cinnamon that she gets from the elven caravans that come through every couple months, so I don't know, maybe there's something different about it, but yeah, I mean, it just seems like normal cinnamon to me.
Right, elven caravan. That's fun. That's a good time. You walk over to him, and he hands you a piece of, like, unforged steel. You know exactly what to do with it, and the two of you begin going to work in this forge. Describe to me this scene, or how Flint is feeling in this moment as he's living this moment with his father.
Flint is feeling really good. It's hot, it's hard work, but it's work that he loves. And, you know, it's kind of like outside of his daily meditations, it's like as close to Zen as he can get during his day to day.
You two are, there are a few other workers there, but you two are working in unison, and it's almost becomes musical, the motions that you're going through. And we catch a moment where you look over to Fargrim, to your father, and he looks back at you, and there's this small smile. Not that it's unheard of that he would do that, but there's just this look of recognition, and almost as if he's saying with his eyes, "You're doing a good job." And as that moment fades, we find Flint in a quiet place. Deep in thought and meditation.
Yeah, he's all crisscross applesauced, as Amy loves to say. He's all crisscross applesauced on the floor, and he's got kind of just hands on his knees. And he's quietly repeating a mantra that just says, "My life is full of joy. My life is full of joy. My life is full of joy."
This mantra continues for
"My life is full of joy."
A good amount of time.
"My life is full of joy."
The room otherwise is quiet. And in your
"My life is full of joy."
In your sight, your eyes are closed, so in your vision,
"My life is full of joy."
There's this flash of bright light. Like this gray and then green and then red, and then two dragon eyes staring back at you, not with any sort of malicious intent, but two dragon eyes staring back at you, and they look equally surprised. And then they're gone.
Well, that's never happened before.
We cut back to Yenbul, who, after Leosin had laughed, you quickly followed him into the next room.
Leosin.
Oh, yes, sorry. Hi, Yenbul.
Hi. How can I help? I am ready. This is all I have, but...
Of course.
You know everyone and everything here. So who do I... Who can I go and help? Who needs assistance? Or what can I do?
There are some families further in who would likely need help getting their children ready. If you go see Amelie and Torrance in the back, they will at least be able to direct you at what they need help with. They kind of take care of most of the children and probably would need the most help right now.
Wonderful, I will help, but first, how are you? Do you feel a little hopeful?
More so than in a long time, yeah. Yeah.
We know the gods are not all dead. We will get more.
One is a start, and if he can recover, if he can use his power, and if this teleportation object works, like, we could change what has happened. I don't know how that looks. There's no books that say how time ripples out and changes if we are able to even do it. But the fact that you and Thea and Flint had come from the past to get here, it leads me to believe that we are putting the pieces into play to allow us to do the opposite.
There must be a way. There must be.
It's nice to see you again.
It is nice to see you too. I will go help with the children.
Thank you.
Leosin, I wanted to, I just want to, like, how possible is it that this thing will work?
If
they even come back with it.
The soul bridge is what it's called. It's powerful enough that it tore multiple rips in the fabric of reality between planes at one time.
And our plan is to create one really big rip?
And our plan is to basically accordion time itself and tear a hole in it and step through and hope we step through to the right moment. I mean, there's two parts to this, Tulgir. There's the object, and there's Bahamut.
Well, what can the old man do?
Well, the old man's the power source. The old man's the one who can make the tear as big as it needs to be. If what you're saying is true, and the Arcane Brotherhood is now, in fact, gone... If they didn't flee...
I don't know if it's true or not, but the tower itself deserted.
Yeah.
One of the last members that we were able to talk to, she was in Bryn Shander when we left. She was not there when we returned. I don't know where she is. I don't know if any of their other search parties came back. But I wouldn't say it's too likely that any of them are out there.
It's my experience that that's probably true. And if they were overrun that quickly and that severely, it's not likely that they survived. And if they didn't survive, we need a massive power source. And the only other massive power source right now is Orcus. And harnessing Orcus's power is not something that I'm comfortable doing.
I just don't think we'd have the opportunity, would we?
Not likely.
Okay, so when you say harness, like, basically we're gonna use the old man up.
I hope not.
But in his current state, I mean, how much power can he...
In his current state, he can't... I don't know if he could do it. It looks like getting... out of wherever it was that you were back here, spent whatever he has. So now we have to hope that now he's back in the material plane, a rejuvenative factor is in place.
Okay, so he needs... isn't it ironic? We all just need time.
Which I feel is ticking ever so quickly.
Well, I mean, if they're right, and it was... If Varanox and Lipsinky. Yeah, we're running short.
There's a beat before he says anything. And all of you, everyone, we see Talgir and Leosin, we see Thea meditating beside Flint. Flamikins is rushing about trying to pack up things with some of the more military folk. And Yembol is back corralling children and placing tattered toys and clothes into bags as quickly as she can. And there's a pulse that echoes out, causing the entire refuge to go silent. The ground and walls begin to shake. And those close to the front of this refuge would be Talgir and Leosin. Thea, you would feel this in your meditative state. The ceiling is torn open, and the main entry to the Resistance's hold is blown in. Debris is thrown, and people scream as they are struck by heavy stone. I think Talgir and Leosin make a dexterity saving throw.
Fun story, guys. It's just the returning search party. They found that item.
They really wanted to make an entrance.
Yeah. Dex save, you said, Russ?
Yes, please.
That is a 21.
Okay, Leosin got a 21 as well.
Ooh, twinsies.
Both of you see this and quickly jump out of the way as this boulder of a stone rockets between the two of you. People are running and fleeing from this explosion, and as you move forward to look and see what caused the chaos, you see the head of a zombified dragon peering down into the sewer through the torn-up earth, the flesh decaying from its face, an open chest cavity where inside you see black, rotting intestines. Thea, as you step into this room, you recognize this dragon, having fought them once before. It comes back to you in a flash of a memory, back to a greenery-filled cave with Flint and Nulara at your side as an adult green dragon emerges from the watery cave and roars before you. Staring through at you is an undead Kuth. Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 96, starring Amy Moore as Thea Amastasia, Carla Maxted as Yenbol Nuri, Tom Laird as Talgir Heavyfoot, with guest Kristen Flemons as a goth godlost Catho Alavi, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiuk, Kat Waterflame, Stevie, Jacob Madden, Devin Michaels, Christian Brown, Aaron Stevens, Lula Hen, and Charlie Warley. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when we reach 100 patrons, we'll release an exclusive Grancis and Flamikins bonus episode, Escaping the Abyss. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. We were way too happy for this.
I know.
For this game.
Time to everybody.
I'll bring us down right now.
Let's bring it down.
It's so hot.
God.
So dark. It is very warm.
Yeah, it is the darkest timeline. In an instant, the spiraling energy
the gnome rips off on a radical motorcycle.
Yep.
That's right.
See y'all later.
Got spoilers, baby.
Okay, bye. Sound like we were on the phone. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
No, you hang up first. You hang up first. Click.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, friends. The Sprouting is a podcast that I want to tell you about and you should go listen to. It's an eldritch horror of an actual play podcast set in an apocalyptic future where eldritch plants have taken over. Magical bargains twist the fate of reality, and each survivor struggles to trust their own senses as they try to see their goals through to their ends. The show uses the rules from Call of Cthulhu to heighten the drama of the story and leave the fate of the story at the whims of the dice, and they've created a completely homebrew world, a plant apocalypse, where the senses can't be trusted, and instead the characters must learn to trust one another. The show is completely scored by beautiful music from their in-house editor, which heightens each dramatic moment throughout the show. I've got a little promo for you here, but go check out The Sprouting. I've listened to it, you need to listen to it, and you should start with the prequel episode when you go over there. Search for The Sprouting anywhere you listen to podcasts.
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.